Thank you. Oh, let me just grab my bearings. So this is the first time in quite a while I've actually preached on a morning. I've done a few of the evening slots recently, but I'm really looking forward to sharing with you guys. So much going on at the minute, isn't there, within the church? So much activity, so much great stuff happening. I think it's incredible to be part of. And what an incredible few weeks that we've had recently. I mean, we started it off by celebrating the life of what was a truly great man, a faithful servant, a good and faithful servant that lived a life incredibly well. And then we've been into a weekend of celebrations, a weekend of weddings. And I got to do the proud parent thing, and I got to stand here with Olivia and as she was dedicated. And we've had baptisms of six incredibly special people, and we've been able to kind of celebrate over the last few weeks the whole spectrum of life and how life is from new life to renewed life, and it's been a real privilege just to kind of do life and do life in partnership with God, and on the backdrop of all of this, it's just become really apparent that God's just massively pouring out his blessings on us, and I wanted to share a little bit about that this morning. And just share a little bit of heart that, and a few things that I've been thinking about. I mean, we just signed the mortgage for this place, haven't we? I mean, how incredible is that? How incredible is that? We now own this building. It's brilliant. It's brilliant to be part of it. We now live and reside in here, and we've got the bills to prove it. And I just think, and it just got me thinking a little bit about God's plans and his purpose and our journey and how it all kind of connects together. And I was praying and I was thinking about this stuff. I was kind of stirred in my spirit that there's something that God has put on my heart that I just wanted to share, and it's this message, and I think it's really at the heart of what I guess what we've talked about this morning as well is that church, I really think that God is saying the best is still yet to come. I really think for each and every one of us that the best is still yet to come. Now do we believe that? Do we believe that God still has the best for us? Yeah? Well, these guys do. Do we believe that everywhere else? Yeah. Absolutely. Come on. So I want to spend a bit of time talking about this morning, and I think this is as much an individual message as it is a corporate message to us as kind of Hope House. And I want to take a few minutes just to look at how God sees us, how God sees us and our potential, how God sees us and how taking hold of that potential and moving into his purposes, because I do truly believe that for us the best is yet to come. So before we go in, I just want to pray for us, if that's okay. So Father God, I just want to pray this morning that you would just come in the midst of us, Lord. That Holy Spirit, that you would be working in us, and the whatever message that I've got to share with you and with these guys here today, Lord, I pray that your heart would come through, that your words would come through, that your message would come through, and it would take root, Lord God, and it would be built upon, and it would begin to change us. It would begin to help us grow in relationship with you, Father. Amen. So the first point is I want to have a look at this morning is that our history is not God's plan for our future. And I've kind of given this, I've got two little points under this. And the first point is that our past is our past and it's not our future. See, history is a really interesting subject. How many of you went to school and you got to do your options at school? You got to make the choice. Now, you might have had the choice to do your sciences, or you might have had the choice to do like your arts and your drama, and history and geography was always like one options that you kind of got to pick from. So how many of you guys went and decided that actually I want to do history? History is my thing. So we've got a few. You had to do both, did you? Oh, okay. That's because you were clever, Julie, that's why. They knew that already. See, the thing about me is I've never been a massive fan about history. I've never been a real history person, and I might get dragged off the stage for this, and Paul's not here as well, so he can't drag me off, else he probably would. See, I've always been of the opinion that actually the geography was my thing, and I was very much a Mr. Barnes. And in all honesty, I actually am quite really interested in history. The thing is that I always found that history was a little bit more harder work than geography. Because geography, you got colouring pencils, and you had to just like draw things. So I always, that's probably why I went for it. Now, the thing about history And especially when we look at our own history and our own experiences, I think that we can allow ourselves to be defined by our past. And our experiences can dictate kind of what our future should look like. I mean, I'm naturally quite a cautious person. Some might say pessimistic. And I always look at things, and no matter how, I always look at things in the perspective of, well, I failed at that a few times before, so what's the likelihood of me being successful again at that the next time? Or I go into things with a real kind of cautious view, because what's gone in my past affects kind of what I step into my future. See, but the incredible thing is, it's okay because we have a God, and I believe we have a God that's a geographer. I don't think God's our God is a big historian. But well, in fact, I know he isn't, because I know that our God is not into history. He's not into. The incredible thing about God is that no matter what our history is, and I mean, what's that? Okay. He was there. He was there. I understand that. But what I mean, let me clear my point up here. What I mean by that is that no matter what our history was, and no matter where we've come from, no matter what our past, how successful or how unbelievable we feel that we failed, see, in him we have an incredible future. In him we have his promises. There's nothing that we can do or that we have done that can ever make us unacceptable to Jesus. But acceptable to God, to our Father. See, we might look at our history and we might carry around the labels of our past. We might have been called failures in the past, or we might have had suffer from depression, or we might feel that they're worthless, but in God, those things are just labels. Those things are just that. They are our past. Now, I want to read Corinthians chapter 2 and verse... chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. So you can turn to it if you want, but it's just a one verse that I've got to read. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." Yeah. See, our future isn't spelled out between what our old life was. Our future is spelled out in the promises of God. These are our new labels. These are the things that we should call ourselves and we should define ourselves by. We are called children of God. We're called sons and heirs of Christ. We're called more than conquerors. Some of these incredible promises that Jesus puts over us. See, God's into rewriting history. He's into creating new memories. He's into creating new life, new hope, and new relationships. And we have a God of restoration and renewal. So if you sat there thinking that you don't have a future, and if only you knew what I'd been through, if only you knew how things have been in my life. See, in God, you are a new creation. And in God, the best is yet to come for each and every one of us here today, no matter what our past. And as I was also thinking about history, I was kind of drawn to a theme of kind of the good old days. So how many of you guys have used that phrase, "Oh, I remember the good old days"? I remember when this used to be the good. See, I remember when you used to be able to go to the shop and get a 10p mix-up and you'd actually have some sweets. Yeah. Well, 10p for me, yeah? Tuppence. There we go. It's even more for your money. But I remember the good old... So my granddad was a big fan of the good old days. He used to take me to the football all the time, and we used to go down to the Barnsley game, and every single week we would go. I don't know why he came, because he spent the whole time complaining. But we would go, and he would just constantly just be talking about, well, when I was a lad, or back in the good old days, players didn't used to roll around, and players didn't used to, and he probably had a good point. He had a fair point. But he would always talk about the good old days. He would talk about trying to go back to that place where he felt things were better. He was trying to recapture. And how many of us enjoyed last weekend? How many have enjoyed the baptisms and the weddings and the testimonies and all the great stuff that we went through over the last weekend or so? See, it would be so easy for us to remember that and that experience and try and replicate that experience and try and hold that experience and make it the normal, or try and repeat it. But actually, we have a God that has... He has new plans for us. He has new growth for us. He wants us to experience new things. So He doesn't want us just to go back to where we were, because he's got bigger plans, he's got a bigger purpose, he's got a bigger opportunity for us to step into the things of him. So it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." See, our God is a God of increase. He has an incredible plan and purpose for each and every one of us. So let's not be a people that look back and try and replicate the good old days and trying to chase those experiences. But let's be a people that's bursting with passion, ready to step out into the new things of God, ready to take hold of the increase that he wants to give us and he wants to share with us. See, when we put our future in his hands and trust him, and then we can step into the best that God has for us. So that's the first point, is about history. The second is, don't let our vision limit what God can do. Or put that another way, let's see things with his vision, see things with his eyes. Just want to do a quick poll. Who was around in 2010, 2011 in Hope House Church? Yeah? So there's a good few of us. See, in the prayer meeting, we had the prayer meeting last Thursday, and we were praying about the church and about the building and about the mortgage and things like that. And Ben raised something that's kind of really resonated with me, and he reminded us about the drop-in center that we kind of set to in about 2011, I think it was. And for those of you that don't know, we're looking at investing in a place up on Agnes Road. It was a drop-in centre. It was a place where we were going to, effectively, it was going to be like a community base. It was just a small shop front, and we were thinking that we can put like small events on and things like this, and it can be a place where we're close to the town centre, we'd have contacts with the local community, and we thought that that's kind of what God wanted for us, and that was the plan. So we were looking at investing, and we were looking at moving that forward. But then I found myself thinking about where God has brought us to at this point. I found myself thinking about where we are now. See, if you'd have told me back then when we were looking at this thing that in 7 years' time we would be stood in this building, owning this building at the centre of Barnsley, and this building used to be the hot point of nightlife in Barnsley. It used to be the place where everybody would go if they wanted to go on a night out, and now it's actually a place of worship for Lord Jesus, and I think that's just incredible. I think it's just amazing. So we were looking at a 12 by 12 shop front window, and we flirted with ideas of looking at the cinema and things like that, and I would have called you completely crazy to have been in the situation where we are right now. I wouldn't have even dreamt of it, but you know something? We have a God of the completely crazy. We have the God of the completely impossible, and it was like what Julie was sharing this morning, and I smiled because we have a God of the first, we have a God of the breakthrough, we have a God of building into new people, of building into new gifting, and that's what's on offer for us in this relationship with Jesus. See, we might initially have had a vision for a drop-in, but when God gets involved, a shop becomes a nightclub, and a nightclub becomes a community centre, and a community centre that holds art festivals and incredible things like that we could only dream of. See, if we would have held on to that, it would have been easy to hold on to that vision. It would have been easy for us to kind of do that doable thing in that small location where we think, well, yeah, we can manage this. But again, God isn't into manageable. God is into bigger, is into better, is into greater purpose. So even after this incredible journey and the incredible things that we've seen over the past few years, I just still think that Hope House Church, I think God's still got a message, and he's still saying to us, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Put your trust in me, believe in me, and the best is still yet to come. See, we have a God that is a God of extravagant giving. He wants to bless his people. He wants to build it with his people. But it doesn't necessarily mean that life's going to be easy. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to get a smooth ride. But one thing we do is we have a God that overcomes. We have a God who already has the victory, that death couldn't hold him. We have a God that loves big dreams, and he loves fulfilling big dreams. We have a God that is a God of the impossible. We have a God that when we're thinking about a 12 by 12 shop front, He's thinking about changing the heart of the bank manager in 7 years' time so that we can buy this place and we can afford this place. And that is the God that we serve. That is the God that we follow. So the best is yet to come, guys. We have to dream. We have to think big. We have to think God perspective on these things, because our own thought process, well, my own thought process, and Oprah, is probably that big compared to what God can do, which is that big. And the incredible thing about God is it's not just a corporate thing that God does that. He cares about each and every one of us individually. And he cares about what's going on in our lives. He cares about who we are and our journeys. And I believe that he wants us to have that same mentality as well in our day-to-day living. So let's be prepared to big dreams for ourselves. So let's pray those big prayers. Let's pray those prayers for our friends and our families, that we have a God of the impossible, and we have a God that says, with faith as small as a mustard seed, I can move mountains, or we can move mountains with him. So let's be prepared in our personal lives, in our day-to-day lives, the lives of our friends and our family, to move those mountains. It might be a health issue. I just think that God is declaring over you this morning that in God the best is yet to come. It might be financial worries. Let's declare over those things again that in God the best is yet to come. Broken or damaged relationships that we might be suffering with, that need restoring. In God the best is yet to come. And we talked about the lost and people that just need to know Jesus. And it's been great. We've seen a couple of people give their lives to Jesus. Come on, praise the Lord. That is amazing. But I think the best is yet to come, guys. I think we've got people that are waiting, that are crying out to hear about the gospel, that are crying out to hear Jesus. And I just think the best is yet to come. And I think that God looks at us and says, well done, guys, but the best is yet to come. I love this. I love the passage in the message. It's the Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, God, and the Message version just kind of hits home for me. So it says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guessed or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us, but by working with us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. And I just love that. And I just think it just speaks volumes of God's just heart for us right now, is the best is yet to come, guys. Trust in me. And follow me, see with my vision, see with my heart, and the best is yet to come. Point number 3. For us to receive his best, we have to give our best. See, God doesn't just want us to dip our toe in the water and kind of be on the edge of things, but he actually wants us to be fully submerged in it. Sorry, I was just reading my writing and I can't read it properly. We can never fully experience... We can never fully experience 100% of God without giving 100% of ourselves as well. So Joshua is my little boy. He's 4 years old, and he's going through a phase at the minute where he's really cautious about everything. He has to assess everything, and he kind of is a bit reserved about getting involved in stuff, because he doesn't know what the consequences are. So. Anyway, a couple of months ago, there was a sports day, and we took him to the sports day, and we said, right, go, Joshua. In fact, Kerry took him, and go, Joshua, go get involved. And he just would not do it. He wouldn't get involved. He didn't want to do it. I don't know what it was. He might have thought he was going to lose, or I genuinely do not know. It came to the end of the sports day, and he was really, really disappointed, because all of his friends were talking about how great this sports day was, and they were all talking about it in school, and he was really disappointed. He said, Daddy, I really wished that I'd done sports day. I really wish I'd gone and got involved. Anyway, fast forward a couple of months, and I got to do the proud dad a bit again. If you're on Facebook, you'll probably know what I'm talking about. Joshua was a flag bearer down at the football stadium last weekend down at Oakwell. And he got to do his flag bearing thing. But it was very much touch and go whether he was going to do it to start with, because we couldn't convince him that it was going to be a good thing, and he was just really nervous about it. So we did the whole, oh, Daddy, I've got tummy ache, or no, I don't feel very well, I've got headache, and I feel a bit sick, and all this kind of stuff. So we went through all of that, Anyway, we had this father and son conversation. And I said, Joshua, all you've got to do is go give your best. And if you decide that you don't want to do it, then you don't have to do it. So we agreed. And then I can just, the one thing that, he absolutely loved the day. He loved every single minute of what went in. And he went into it with so much enthusiasm, so much heart and so much passion. Even now, he's running around singing the songs that we were singing at the football about Marley Watkins and all this kind of stuff. So, it came on the radio the other day and he was singing it. Oh, it was just, it's just brilliant. But he could have quite easily have just kind of stood at the sidelines and not put his effort into that. But it was through him putting his heart and his passion and through him kind of going all in for the day. And he did everything to the best of his ability. He had his flag. He was waving his flag. He was so passionate. In fact, he actually took out the little lad that was stood next to him. So there was this little lad roaring in the middle of the football pitch as Joshua clubbing him around there because he was going after him. It's all right. He did say sorry. So we were good with that. Yeah, but the passion that he did it with, it was just so incredible. And he got so much out of the day. See, I know that that's just a four-year-old life experience, that's the experience of a four-year-old. But I think it's the same for the things with us, and the same with the things with us and God. See, he calls us to a full life with him. He calls us to a life of abundance, a life of increase. He calls us to a joyful experience with him, but in order for us to receive, we have to throw ourselves into that relationship as well. See, Joshua went on this day, and he could quite easily have just been worried about all the stuff that was going to go wrong. I'm going to drop my flag. Toby Tiger's going to come and jump on me and squash me or whatever little kids get scared of these big mascots. See, we need to have the mentality that Joshua had, in the sense that he got one of the greatest experiences of his life because he went in there, and he went in there with passion. He went in there with his heart, and he gave everything to it. And we have to have that mentality with the things of God. We have to pour that into our relationship. We have to guarantee that whatever you put into that relationship, God will give you back 10 times more than you can ever put in. He will give you back. See, as people, we have to give our best to God, so that we can receive. So when we're spending time with him, are we giving him the quality of the time that we need? Or are we giving him the, because I know I'm guilty of this, 5 minutes before you go to bed at night, and you find yourself dozing off as you're reading your Bible. Are we giving him the quality of time, the best of our time? When we're turning up in prayer meetings, are we coming expecting him to turn up? Are we coming expecting him to respond to the things that we're praying about? And when we're doing church and when we're doing house group, or we're coming out of duty, or we're coming out of the desire to kind of give to the church, to give our time, to give our energy, to give our effort to our friends and everybody that's involved in church, are we giving our best? We read that Jesus talks about that he wants the whole of he wants our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And that's what we need to love him with. And once you've done all of that, there's not much left that you can't love him with. He's basically saying, every part of your person, I don't just want the little bits, I want the whole package. See, when we give to God and for God's purpose, something incredible happens. His increase is given to us. He increases our giving. He responds to our sacrifice. And when we give to the Lord, he repays and multiplies in abundance. We've heard a lot recently about the parable of the talents. It seems to be a common theme that's going through church at the minute, which is great. And this is that five talent mentality. It's the I will give and I will do as much as I can with what God's given me, and then the master will respond. And he will double it, and he will triple it, and he will quadruple it. Because I believe that when we give to God, the best is yet to come, because he responds. He responds with and multiplies what we give. So my fourth and final point, this is the short one, so you'll be happy. I don't know what I'm doing for time. I think I'm all right, actually. So the fourth and final point is, sometimes we need people to push us along and stand with us. See, sometimes it's tough. sometimes it is tough, and we want to just sit there, and we want to just let life pass us by, and we want to give in the best, give in our best. It takes energy. It takes effort. It's hard work. I mean, how many people know that sometimes that life can get hard? Yeah? It does. It takes energy out of you. It takes effort to give our best. And sometimes it's a struggle. It's a struggle to even get through the days. But the great thing about being in a relationship with God, the great thing about God is He puts people around us. He puts people to spur us on. He puts people to get alongside us and to support us. And that's called the church. This is one thing I think is incredible and I love about the church. Sunday morning is one of my favorite times. And Sunday evening is one of my favorite times of the week because it's spending time with God's people and just receiving from each other and being supported by each other. Now, Hebrews 10, verse 20, 23 to 25, if you want to turn to it, feel free. But it reads that, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." See, God knows how tough it's going to be. And God knows how sometimes we just need people just to drag us along and to spur us on and to get behind us. And he wants to give us every opportunity for us to receive his best. And that's why he thought of church. That's why he does church. And that's why it's his number one plan to save us. See, I think this is the great thing about church, that God puts people around us. He helped to help us through, to support us, to build us up. That no matter what our situation is, that God today has a plan and he has a purpose for you. And you're here intentionally. You're not here by accident. You're not here because you stumbled in. You might have stumbled in off the street. But you're here because God has a purpose and a plan for you to be here today. And this morning, I want to say to you that no matter where you are, that the best is yet to come. And the best is yet to come through relationship with people. See, without Joshua having his mum and his dad, he wouldn't have had his day. He wouldn't have been pushed. He wouldn't have had the excitement. He wouldn't have had the joy, the experience of flag bearing. He wouldn't have been able to receive what he said was his favorite day, his best day ever. Now, sometimes we need to have people around us to spur us on so that we can get the best from God and we can receive the best from God, to enter into the things of God and push through to experience everything that he has for us. So I just love church, and I love that God designed it. I love that God designed us for relationship. And I'm excited about what God can do with us and through us. And I think if the only way that we can truly fulfill our potential in God is when we partnership with him and with his people. And when we get it right, and I think we're doing a pretty good job, I think that's when we begin to experience the best that God has for us. So I'm just going to close down now. So can I just invite the band back up just as we kind of close? So my time's kind of run out there, and it's as much as I wanted to say, but I just want to close just by saying, guys, I just want us to get hold of this. I want us to get hold of the fact that God hasn't finished with us yet. God hasn't finished sowing into the lives of Hope House Church. We've had an incredible journey. We've had an incredible, incredible time, but he actually says, keep pushing through, keep going forward, because the best is yet to come. I have more, and we just have to be prepared to step out in faith. Like what Julie was saying, I think there's going to be loads more firsts. I think we're going to be talking about firsts. We're going to be talking about people being released into new gifting. We're going to be talking about people being released into new ministries and new things that you look back and you think, well, my history doesn't say I can do that. But actually, God's not about history. God's all about future. He's about kingdom building. He's about doing things that are going to advance his kingdom. He's on about empowering and giving us the tools that we need. And as the band come back and as they begin to play, I just want to close by giving an opportunity for people to respond. So if today you feel like your history is holding you back from being the best that God can, wants you to be, or the best that God has to offer. And this morning, I want to say over you, I want to declare over you that God wants to say, for you, the best is yet to come. He has an incredible plan. He has an incredible purpose. He has an incredible future for each one of us. And no matter where your past is, no matter what you've come from, no matter how great or how shocking you feel it might be, that God has a new plan. He has a new exciting journey. He has a new experiences to take each and every one of us on. Immeasurably more than we could imagine, as we read in Ephesians chapter 3. And this morning, I just want to declare over you that the best is yet to come. And whatever that situation might be, whether it's work, whether it's the financial, whether it's relationships that are struggling, I just want to say that God, we have a God that overcomes. We have a God that wants to step into your life. He wants to help you. He wants to restore whatever we feel that is broken. And he wants to just kind of say, this morning, what a great opportunity it is to lay that before him. To say, Jesus, can you take my issues? Can you take this, and can you deal with it, Lord God? I hand it over to you, because I know in you my future is so much greater. I know in you that your promises are so much higher than anything that I can do, Lord God. So if that is you, and you just want to kind of pray with somebody and stand with somebody, like we've just said, sometimes it means just standing there and just being spurred on, then please come forward, and some of the guys will pray with you and just share heart and connect and do church. And finally, I just want to say that the church, I really think that God is just crying out to us. He's just saying, guys, keep going. The best is yet to come. Keep spurring you on. Keep spurring each other on. And just, I can't wait to see what he's going to do with us. I just can't wait to see what the future holds. Can't wait to see the new giftings, the new people, that these empty rows, these empty seats, I can't wait to see these filled, because God's got some incredible plans for us. And let's be part of it, guys. I'm just going to close in prayer. Father God, I want to thank you that you are a God of the future. I want to thank you that, Lord, that our past doesn't hold us back, Lord God. I want to pray that you came to reconcile, to renew, to change, and you came to give new life, Lord Jesus. And I want to pray that right now, as we kind of just come before you in worship, Lord, I want to pray that you would take away any of those pasts, any of those things that inhibit us, any of those things that might hold us back from receiving the best of you, Lord Jesus. So I ask that we bring those to the cross, and we put them at the foot of the cross, and we say, Lord, you have your way. You have your way with us this morning. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Come on, guys, let's worship, because the best is yet to come.